And this is a minority kind of initiative. And with everything that's gone on the past year or two with the Black Lives Matter movement and the push and fight for racial equality, has this initiative become more of a necessity for you and your team? Or has it always been something that you've tried to push for? You kind of mentioned it before.
Yeah, I've always tried to push for it, you know, and wherever I can. And it's minorities across the board. You know, it's, you know, Asians and Blacks and Hispanics and women. And, you know, so I've always tried to seek out, you know, the best of the people that I can for, obviously, for my team. But at the same point in time, I've also tried to do a good job in bringing in, you know, as many diverse people as I possibly can and giving those people opportunities. So it's always been something that I've tried to do, knowing that, you know, this is my, I've got a pretty solid position in the sport. So I have the ability to kind of make calls of who I work with and who I don't. So when I can, I do. The problem is that there's just not a base out of there for me to draw from. You know, so what the thing now is this goes back to the STEM program. We need to create that base. We need to create that pathway for people who are interested in the sport, who are diverse, to come in and, you know, basically have that door open for them and be able to find positions in the sport for, you know, for like a full-time job. And there are opportunities there, and it's just people don't see that pathway. And that's what's important to me, is showing them that pathway.
You are now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Hello, and welcome to episode 40 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps. My co-host Dane Beasley could not join me this evening, but I am joined by race car driver Rob Holland. Rob is the Pikes Peak record holder. This man is everywhere. He's a driver in BTCC, WTCC, TCR, PWC, VLN. I don't know what all those acronyms mean, but it means something really great, I'm sure. And he's also the presenter for Sky TV's Faster. Mr. Holland, how are you doing this afternoon? And thank you for joining me.
I am well, Deontay. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. Just another Sunday. Just enjoying the nice weather we finally have here in Texas, man. It's, you know, Texas weather is very, very tricky. Could be sunny one hour, and the next hour could be raining. So we're just enjoying it here, man.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Nice for you to join me. So a little bit about who you are for our audience. Mr. Holland became the first American driver in history to compete full time in the series of the British Touring Car Championship in 2014. He competed with Rotec Racing in the Audi S3. And he's also the first American ever to compete in the World Touring Car Championship. Man, how, when you see or when you hear the term race car driver, is that more like what is that? Is it more to that, or is just like more or what you see on TV if you're a fan?
Oh, no. There, it's nothing like that. It's, you know, it's funny when I first started racing, you know, getting into the whole sport, you come in with a preconceived idea of what racing should be. And I thought, you know, it was a bunch of loose cannons, you know, running around right, with the hair on fire, partying all the time. And I got into it, and it is completely 100% different than that. And, you know, honestly, the biggest thing for me is honestly the intellectual side of racing. There's a lot that goes in behind it. You know, you look at the teams that we have, and you look at, like, you know, something like Formula One, if everybody's been watching, like, Drive to Survive and all that stuff. You look at the hundreds of people that are involved in each team in motorsports, and you know, the fact that the driver ends up being kind of the linchpin to all of that. You know, we're the guys behind the wheel that have to tell the engineers exactly what it is they're seeing on their data and how it relates to us in the car. And man, it was a whole nother world for me. You know, completely opened my eyes, but it's something obviously I fell in love with, because I've been doing it for a living for 20 years now.
To go along with that, was, you know, when a lot of kids dream of what they want to be when they grow up, you hear football player, basketball player, firefighter. You growing up, was it, I want to be a race car driver, or was it something later on in life that was a switch that, like, kind of steered you, per se, into that path?
No, you know, it wasn't, I didn't have, I mean, everybody wants to be a race car driver. I mean, that is one of the things. You want to be an astronaut, firefighter, all of these things. And then you're a race car driver. But, you know, as a kid, you're always like, I'm never going to actually grow up to be an astronaut or actually grow up to be a race car driver. And you know, kind of as I was growing up, I always liked watching motorsports, you know, which was unique. And none of my friends were really into it other than the, you know, kind of just seeing stuff every once in a while, the Indy 500 or some Formula One race pop up on TV. And but what for me, it kind of was always in the back of my mind. And I had a weird detour. I actually ended up becoming a professional bicycle racer for a number of years. Okay. And I went to the University of Colorado, spent some time at the Olympic Training Center. And I mean, I love that sport. And when I left in my early 20s, I realized I missed being competitive. I'd been doing something competitive, you know, my entire life to that point at a very high level. And, you know, I said, oh, well, you know what, I've always liked race car driving. And, you know, let me just kind of maybe there's, you know, see if I could find a school or something or some guys that are doing it. And I ended up doing some track days with some local guys. And the guys were like, you know, you look like you got a bit of a knack for this. You should go to the Skip Barber Driving School, which is kind of where all the drivers go to that run either amateur or pro level racing. And so I went into the Skip Barber Driving School. And long story short, it turned out I was better at racing cars than I wasn't racing bikes. And I got a pro contract. And that was, you know, almost 20 years ago now. So, It, you know, there was no preconceived thing. I didn't start off as a 6-year-old kid in karting and doing all these things to hear about. I was the opposite. I didn't get into this until pretty late in life.
Right. So at the beginning, I listed a bunch of different
alphabets,
different letters that you've been a part of. Is there any moment in your racing career so far that stands out to you? Like where you felt like, I guess per se, you were on the top, like, man, nothing can get better than where I'm at right now.
You know, it's funny. I've had so many of those because, you know, you start off as a, you know, even when I kind of got to the point where I was in racing, you know, you never think you're going to get to, you know, the pinnacle of motorsports and what it is that I do. And, you know, for me, first of all, British Touring Car Championship was what really hooked me into racing. I mean, the guys that I was watching on TV, you look at what they were doing with their cars and you're just like, how does anyone do this with the car? I mean, two wheels in the air and bouncing off each other. And you're just like, this is ridiculous. There's no way you can do it. And I liked Formula One, but for me, those cars were so far away from the cars that I actually could relate to that it didn't really sync with me. But watching touring cars, I'm like, that's my car right there. This guy, like, just two wheels, and it was amazing. And so for me, that was like, so to be able to join the British Touring Car Series and be the first American to do so since Dan Gurney, and the first American ever to do it full time, you know, that was for me. I'm sitting on the grid. I'm going, how am I here? Like, what happened? But then to even take that a step further, because I made it over there and was on the grid and was competitive, I got asked by a British team to race for them in the FIA World Touring Car Championships. And that is, I mean, first of all, it was a last minute deal. I got a call on Tuesday. We didn't finalize the deal until Thursday, and the first practice was Friday morning, and I was in Colorado and the race is in California. So, I mean, literally last minute, jump in the seat and, you know, car you've never driven, the track that you've only been on once or twice. So I got thrown in. These are the best drivers in the world. And you know, to me and to understand what this level is, I mean, you've got the FIA has only got a couple of world championships. The top of the heap is Formula One. It's the Formula One World Championships FIA. Then you've got the World Rally Championship, and then the World Endurance Championship, and then the World Touring Car Championship. So there's only four homologated FIA World Championships, and these are the top 20 guys. And I managed to score points in the Independence Championships, finished 13th overall. Like I said, getting thrown into the deep end with the best guys in the world. And it, to me, that was just, you know, I came out of that weekend again, you know, like, how did this happen and how am I here? So, and then that got me a lot of recognition among my peers. I mean, recognizing that it is an incredibly difficult thing to jump into a car at a last minute in a championship that's been running already half a season and be competitive with these guys, you know, that really elevated my status among my peers. And that was kind of, for me, the seminal moment in my racing career.
You mentioned a bunch of different international world type of championships. Of course, mainly people in the U.S. here are familiar with NASCAR, Indies, that kind of series. What if you were to explain that to a fan of NASCAR that's not familiar with the International Series. What, how can you explain the difference between NASCAR, which is so American, so, you know what I'm saying, like more into the everyday racing kind of thing? How would you explain the difference between International Series and the NASCAR Series here?
Well, it's funny. The way I always put it is that British Touring Car and NASCAR are like cousins.
Okay.
You know, like the, like your, it's your weird British cousin that you don't talk to very much. That British Touring Car is that type of racing. It's very aggressive, lots of passing, except it's not held on ovals. It's held on road courses. You know, whereas NASCAR is held on ovals, but it's that same level of aggression. It's the same type of fan. It's that same type of energy. The British Touring Car is the most popular form of motorsports over in the UK, other than Formula One. And NASCAR is obviously the most popular form of motorsport here in the US. So, when you look at it that way, the racing is different, but the mentality, the fans, the sponsors, all of that stuff are very, very similar between NASCAR and British Touring Car. And then you look at Formula One, and Formula One and IndyCar are very similar as well. So it is that kind of that separation across the ocean, you know, in terms of, you know, where the motorsports are different, but the fans are the same and the passion is the same for the sport.
Yep, I can see that. So you partner with Foundation 99, Velocity 99 for a diversity initiative for motorsports. Explain to our listeners what the purpose of that partnership is and why is it so important to you?
Well, we've got a couple of things. So, you know, at the beginning of end of last season, I started talking with Greg Gill, who is the president of the SRO Championships, which is the championships that we're currently competing in. And both he and I, we've been friends for a very long time. And, you know, he recognized the lack of diversity, not only in the SRO paddock, but across all paddocks in motorsports. There's just not a lot of minority representation in the sport. And Greg came to me and he said, look, you know, he's like, I don't know what the reason for this is, but I can see it. He's like, I can walk to the middle of the paddock and just see that there's no diversity here. Mm-hmm. So he said, look, is there something that you can do to help us out? And I said, yes, I'd love to. I'd love to put together, you know, through my travels, you know, as diverse a group of people that I know in motorsports to try to start seeding the paddock. You know, I don't have all the answers as to why there's no diversity. I've got my ideas and my thoughts, but at the end of the day, the debate could go back and forth about why there's not diversity. But that takes away from the time that we're and the focus of how do we actually diversify.
How do we change
sport?
It? Yes,
exactly. And I said, I don't want to get into these, you know, these arguments back and forth. There's no one that can argue with me and say that there is diversity in the paddock. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just it's clearly if you're looking around, there's nothing there. I mean, at that point in time, I got connected with Velocity 99, and their main focus is STEM. You know, science, technology, engineering, and math skills for kids. And that's always been a secondary passion of mine is really kind of making sure that the kids out there don't see boundaries. I always say in my life, I've been very fortunate with my family and my upbringing that they never allowed me to see any boundaries, which is how I ended up being a race car driver. So I wanted to make sure that the kids growing up also had that same opportunity. And you know, Velocity 99 shares that same passion. And when we got together and started talking, you know, we said, hey, look, you know, the best way to do this, it's a combination of things. It's a win-win. We can help seed diversity, but we can also at the same time get the kids who are, you know, on that border of being interested in STEM to really, you know, kind of grasp it and really say, hey, look, here's a pathway. Here's like the end of what I could do. If I could study here in high school, you know, I could be an engineer for a race car team, or I could be a driver, or I could be a PR person or whatever I want to be. So we really kind of put that out there as hey, what can we do to do that? So we ended up coming up with a contest. And what we're going to do is we're going to take in a whole bunch of applications. We've got kind of an essay type quiz. We're going to pick, I think it's about six winners or so. And those six winners are going to intern and crew on my team through the last half of the season. And we want to use this as the basis for the program going forward for years and years and years. You know, I think the one thing I've you know, talked to Neil deGrasse Tyson a very long time ago. Neil has always said that the greatest group of engineers to come out of any point in history in America was during the space program, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And he says, since that program has really ended, we don't have that same passion. The kids in school don't have that, you know, holy grail to look up to and say, hey, here's what we could do if we apply ourselves in high school. Now, motorsports obviously isn't on that level, but at least it gives some of the kids today like something to aspire to. And that's what the program is all about.
So these students, do they have to, are you currently in the process of connecting with certain high schools around the country in certain regions, or is it more of a program that they have to seek out themselves, or can they just show up at their school and the program's there? How can they connect to your program, your STEM?
Well, right now it's just going to the Velocity 99 website, registering, and we're still in the process of putting all the pieces together to make sure this is a successful program. But we will be getting the word out here in the media probably within the next month or so. And that will hopefully lead into about the 30-day period prior to the contest. And the contest is a 24-hour contest. You have 24 hours to put something together to present to us. And then we'll be looking over the month of probably July and picking our winners out of that. So, but the big thing is go to Velocity 99 website and register there. And that will give you all of the updates as to what we're going to do. And it's not just high school kids we're looking for. I want to make sure that everybody understands this. You know, this is kind of high school and college age and maybe even a bit beyond. I mean, you know, there could be guys who've gone through college, gotten that degree, but still are lost as to what they want to do with it, you know. And we want to make sure that even though, I mean, right now we haven't really put anything out there, and we have well over 1,000 people registered for our program and our competition. And I think that, you know, just we've had a couple of webinars and just kind of post-race debrief with everybody. And the amount of, you know, really highly intelligent questions that we're getting, both on the engineering side, but also just in motorsport questions in general, shows to me that there's a real interest out there for a lot of these kids to be involved in the sport. And so I want to make sure that even after this competition is over, that the people who don't win don't just kind of feel lost and they just drift away.
Right.
We want to make sure that there's a network of all these people that, hey, look, you guys are all like-minded people. You all have the same drive and the same passion for motorsports. What can we do about placing you with teams, maybe as interns, or just keeping you involved in the sport so that if an opportunity comes up that you're aware of it. So we want to create a network and almost a family of these, of these people and see where it goes.
Right. We mentioned earlier, we were talking about how you got into motorsports, and with this program, it kind of like was a light for me as far as, you know, a lot of times you see kids growing up, like we mentioned, wanting to be a football player, basketball player. But a lot of kids aren't aware of the behind the scenes of people that make those people successful. So do you kind of see this as the bridge as to like can open the minds of the students and kids that, hey, I could still be involved in sports, not necessarily, you know, in the limelight, but I still have a path to get to a point where I can make an impact in sports.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's one of the things that makes it, it's just very tough, is that, you know, in any sport, all you see is the tip of the iceberg. You see the athletes, you see the race car drivers, you see me on a podium spraying champagne, and they go, okay, that's what I want. But, you know, I can't afford to get into racing. It's too expensive. I can't get a race car, all of these things that you need to do to get to where I was in the sport. And I think that kind of, you know, deters a lot of people from even pursuing that in any way, shape or form. And, you know, so it is really sad to see that there's people that have this wide range of talents, you know, that could make a career out of being in motorsport. Okay, no, you're not the guy behind the wheel, but you're the guy behind me being successful. You know, I've got, I've got my systems engineer, David Middleton, great, great guy. Met him over at the Nürburgring in Germany, where we have a base over there. And David was the only other black guy wandering around the paddock. And I said, I had to go meet this guy, figured out who he was. And he and I formed a great friendship. And he's been trying to figure out a way to get into motorsports over in the U.S. and be with the team. And so he was one of the guys that we brought onto my team on the diversity side of things. But he's a world-class engineer. And you sit there and you go, okay, well, why isn't this guy able to find a pathway into motorsport? He has all the knowledge. You know, he was at the Nürburgring in Europe, but still when he comes back to the U.S., he doesn't know which doors to knock on to try to get a job. And from my perspective, that shouldn't be the case. We need as many bright and talented people in this sport as possible. You know, and you look, what I've done is be able to assemble this group of people that haven't found work in the industry either at all or recently. We put this group together, and the first race we're all together, we go out and put it on pole and win the first race at Sonoma. And we're now leading the championship. So you look at these guys and you go, these guys absolutely 100% right. should be in motorsport, and everybody else missed out on it. So, you know, hopefully that's something that, you know, we're going to lead into. And I think people are going to see this over the course of the season, how good this team really is.
And this is a minority kind of initiative. And with everything that's gone on the past year or two with the Black Lives Matter movement and the push and fight for racial equality, has this initiative become more of a necessity for you and your team? Or has it always been something that you've tried to push for? You kind of mentioned it before.
Yeah, I've always tried to push for it, you know, and wherever I can. And it's minorities across the board. You know, it's, you know, Asians and Blacks and Hispanics and women. And you know, so I've always tried to seek out, you know, the best of the people that I can for, obviously, for my team. But at the same point in time, I've also tried to do a good job in bringing in, you know, as many diverse people as I possibly can, and giving those people opportunities. So it's always been something that I've tried to do, knowing that, you know, this is my, I've got a pretty solid position in the sport. So I have the ability to kind of make calls of who I work with and who I don't. So when I can, I do. The problem is that there's just not a base out of there for me to draw from. You know, so what the thing now is this goes back to the STEM program. We need to create that base. We need to create that pathway for people who are interested in the sport, who are diverse, to come in and, you know, basically have that door open for them and be able to find positions in the sport for, you know, for like a full-time job. And there are opportunities there, and it's just people don't see that pathway. And that's what's important to me, is showing them that pathway.
You mentioned you had like 1,000 or so applicants already. Is that
already? I mean, this, and like I said, that was probably 30 days ago, so it's probably doubled by now. And this, we haven't done any promotion at all.
What's the timetable for students? Like, when is the deadline for when they, like, the last possible moment they can submit their proposal?
Well, so what it'll be is that we'll have people registering, and it'll probably be, my guess is, up until sometime in June. And then the competition itself is going to be, we're going to ask a single question, and then it'll be, and this is, we're still tweaking the format, but
okay.
People are going to submit their answers to that. And then we're going to probably take 2 or 3 weeks to go through all of these applications. So probably sometime beginning to mid July, we'll hopefully pick our winners. And then, from there we can hopefully hire them on as interns, and away we go.
Wow. I definitely wish they had something like this, like as far as being like, because currently I'm trying to find my way in the sports media industry, and it's definitely difficult to find, like, get your foot in the door. And this seems like a great opportunity for STEM students to, you know, get that kind of experience, if anything.
Well, we need to have you enjoy, like, literally join the program, because as much as we're focused on STEM, this is also a bigger overall, you know, effort. So,
okay.
You know, I do a lot of stuff in the automotive media side of things, and that's, we're still, we want people to apply that are interested in motorsports and in its various forms. So the focus is STEM, but, you know, we're working with some PR people that we're trying to bring on as interns, photographers, you know, people who are just really looking for a foot in the door. And for the first year, we'll probably be limited as to how many people that we can bring on. But like I was saying before, if we can create this collective of people that we then have the ability to reach out and contact and go, oh, you know, you're interested in sports photography. Well, hey, look, you know,
you have the pool set already.
Yeah, right. You're based in Houston. Okay, come up to the Austin race. We're going to get you a press pass. We're going to allow you to come in and take some pictures and maybe work with the series photographer, you know, and hopefully that will give them at least a foot in the door and the beginning of a resume, so that they can then go, hey, look, we worked with a professional series. These are the things that we, you know, the assets that we brought out of the series, and here's our portfolio, so that maybe that allows them to get to that next step.
So you guys have a race coming up in Texas the end of this month, correct?
End of this month. I think that's the first weekend in May is the actual race.
Is it in Austin?
Yes, it's the Circuit of Americas in Austin.
Wow. Okay, I've been there. It's a nice venue.
Yeah,
nice venue.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to it.
So, students, there at that time, you're still having students apply and applicants, but like the internship does not begin at that time. It's still in the process of going on, correct?
Yeah, nothing will be decided. Our first race we're hoping to bring kids on is the Nashville race, which is the beginning of August, I want to say. Okay. So this is, as of right now, we really, I mean, especially with you know, the COVID protocol still in place and things not quite opening up, it was really difficult to be able to get kids in on a consistent basis. So as opposed to doing it here and then being patchwork and not doing it someplace else, we really wanted to say, okay, let's wait until we're fairly confident things will be open. And right now, Nashville is the first race that we're going to run that there is, we believe there's going to be unlimited fans. So it's going to be wide open, and that will allow us to kind of bring everybody in and celebrate being back to hopefully normal.
Awesome. Awesome. I appreciate you so much for coming on. Every time we have a guest, we like to give them the opportunity to shout out anything. Obviously, you're shouting out Velocity 99, the initiative, but anything else you'd like to say to our listeners before we get out of here?
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, the big thing is that everyone has to realize is that, you know, you sit there and you listen to a NASCAR race and the drivers after talk about all their sponsors and this and that and the other, and everybody kind of tunes out. But I want people to know that our partners here on this, our sponsors on this, are people who truly believe in what we're doing. You know, the guys at Motul, the guys at Pirelli, the guys at the SRO Championships, Ford for Performance, Gear at Carbon, all of these companies are involved in our program in a very meaningful way, in the sense that they're not just sitting there going, hey, look, here's a few dollars and go out and don't bother us again. These are all people that are looking to hopefully get interns out of this program. I mean, and that's the bigger thing, which I kind of haven't mentioned, is the fact that hopefully once they go through our program, our partners will have a chance to take a look at these guys. And, you know, you never know. You end up working at Ford Performance or Motul or Pirelli, you know, all these big manufacturers, because they're really, really struggling in getting a diverse, qualified group of people through the door. So, so all of these partners, anybody you see on our car is 100% behind the program, and not just from a dollar standpoint, but from an actual standpoint where they really hope to be able to get something out of this, which hopefully would be helpful for everybody.
This sounds like a great, great initiative. I'm happy to use my platform to get the word out to people and hopefully can get some more applicants added to that 1,000, maybe 2,000 applicants. But we will definitely have the link for all of the information for Velocity 99 and the initiative program. You can check out this episode and all episodes on any digital streaming platform, as well as our website, www.theduosportsandstuffpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.